So today is Sunday, 20th of September, 2020. We will continue with our sharing on the book, The Path to Truth for Modern Day Bodhisattva Practitioner. Very good afternoon to all. Meet us. Let's turn to page 174. We will continue from page 174. The title is The Practice of Filial Piety. We are on this chapter 7. So chapter 7 is on applying the Buddha Dharma in daily life, which is a very good topic for us to go through. We have finished the first sub-heading for this chapter 7. Applying the Buddha Dharma, that one we have gone through. So now is cultivating or practice filial piety. An old saying goes, filial piety is the origin of all virtue, or filial piety is the first among all virtue. It is our fundamental duty to be filial, to have filial piety. Raising children is the responsibility of parents. Many parents dedicate themselves entirely to take meticulous care of their children, even when it meant living frugally all their lives. Some parents may know how to express themselves so that their children feel, Some parents may not know how to express themselves so that their children feel distant from them. Children should know of their mother's hardship during pregnancy and the pain of giving birth, as well as their father's hard work of supporting the family. Without their parents' care and love, how could children grow up? So this is one aspect of description of filial piety. So most family, they go through the generations of succession of parents and children. So based on tradition, we have seen most of the time, because of the parents' love for their children, they are willing to sacrifice, they are willing to endure much suffering, be frugal, and really sacrifice for their children's future, their education, their welfare, and protect them, care for them, and in times of need, really do whatever they can for their well-being and happiness. So in that respect, as children, we must develop filial piety, because if we truly have the understanding, when we look back on birth, the birth process itself is not easy. Your mother, our mother, they have to go through a lot of very severe, period of pregnancy. Sometimes the full period could be 9 to 10 months, but for some who are born premature, it also takes at least about 7 months. Okay, wait, the fan, move it out a bit. Move it out more, so that it don't blow me direct. okay, can I? Okay. Excuse me. I need to move the fan away a bit, otherwise it disturbs me. Today I looks like going to have some sinus thing affecting me, so I need to rest early today. But don't worry, I will still finish up the session. So based on this understanding, the children should develop philopiety. And once we have philopiety, it's like the beginning of all virtue. When you have philopiety, it means you have gratitude towards your parents. You understand how they sacrifice for you, how they care for you, how they provide for you at their own frugalness and suffering. So most parents actually did a lot of things to provide, to sacrifice, and to take care of their children. Not only the four basic needs, food and shelter, care for you when you are sick, and provide for you. But sometimes they have to plan for your education too. They also have to plan for your happy future life. Yeah? Like after you graduate or after you have finished your study, when you're about to start a family, they will help you in many other ways which they deem fit or they can afford. So especially second generation kids, they even help to pay for the first house installment. Then after that, the children only get to continue with the mortgage repayment. Then sometimes if the parent can afford, they tend to provide for their overseas education and also tend to give them the good life. So it depends on your family background, your family circumstances, but not everybody are so fortunate as to have parents who live long enough to care for them, to provide for them, to sacrifice for them. There are many children who are born without parents, or they are born not long, their parents pass away. Some may be brought up by single parents. Some may be brought up by very poor parents who don't have the means to support them. Then it leads to a lot of social problems, communities problems. Then there are also situations where sometimes the parents are not the one that have the Dhamma understanding or the means to support their children. Some of them are themselves having problems. They don't have the means, or they may be irresponsible. Drug addicts, drunkard, gambler. Then they create a lot of social problems among their family unit. Then the children are neglected. So under such circumstances, when we talk of general philopiety, most children who have gone through the proper life may understand you, but for certain children, they may not agree. He said, no, my parents didn't care for me. They left me since I was very young, or immediately after my birth, I don't even know who they are. Then some, they are subject to abuses by their own parents. There are some, they are forced to be sold away to others as slave or whatever. Then there are many other examples or circumstances of children who felt that their parents didn't really do much for them and they hate their parents. So to people on this background or experiences in life, we can apply the straightforward rules of philopiety. We need to explain the Buddhist principle behind the law of karma. If we don't take care of karma, if we neglect our duty, just like in the past, let's say some of these people, they might have been irresponsible, they neglect their children and others. So law of karma is you reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. You plant the seed of evil, you reap the fruit of evil. So they became the victim in future life. So that's why this life, when you are born into this life, because you neglect your children in the past. So this life, when you come, you will have parents who will neglect you. But you have done your duty well. You have been a true parent who has the love, the understanding, the means, and you are able to do your duty well, means able to provide for them, sacrifice for them, care for them, and plan for their life, and support them in whatever way possible, through right understanding. Then when you come, you will reap the fruit of it. You will have parents who will provide for you, care for you, sacrifice for you, and understand your needs. Then you will have the good life. So law of karma is understanding all this, no matter what your circumstances is. It's just like what the Buddha said. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. Then the Buddha also, under the five daily contemplation, the last one, he said, we are all born of karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. So a lot of this thing has to do with our karma. If we have done our duty well every life or in the past, then this life we should have good conditions, have good parents and other things. Then to relate to fellow piety is a lot easier. To be failure is to have this gratitude towards our parents. That's why we repay their kindness. We develop fellow piety. We care for them when they get old, provide for them. Then we give them love. We have more love for them because of what they have done for us. Because that gratitude can go very far. It gives rise to great virtue when children think of their parents, how fortunate their life were, how blessed they were when young, how their parents take care of them, and how their even grandparents love them so much. Then they receive the love, the support, the condition, and the beautiful guidance. Then they grew up into very blessed children, successful, having good life and good life condition. So people who has this condition, they tend to have good coming past. They have the Dhamma. Then when they reflect, the fellow piety is very straightforward and very natural. So they can fit into society. But most of these people also have the Dhamma. That's why when they look at life, they will understand why other people are different, why other children are different. Not everyone is the same. Each and every one of us, we are born different. We have different karmic conditioning and background. And because of that, this topic of fellow piety, we need to view at it from very deep perspective of Dhamma understanding for us to truly understand what fellow piety is. So this is the point that I want to share with you, so that you can understand deeper what fellow piety is. Not just a straightforward type of fellow piety. In fact, fellow piety can really bring for a lot of great virtue, okay? And great understanding if we know how to apply them. Okay, we go back to the teaching, okay? Then we continue from where the author shared. Parents work hard and give unconditionally to their children. They do everything for their offspring. Yet in their old age, when the younger generation goes off to pursue their own goal elsewhere, the parents are left to live alone. When they fall ill, people ask them, "Did you tell your children about your illness? Do they know that you are ill?" They often reply, "Do not tell them. It will only trouble them if they come to know." They are very busy with their own families and career. Everything parents do shows their consideration towards their children. What is the most beautiful things in the world? In the sky, the stars are the most beautiful. On earth, love between family members is the most beautiful. The Buddha teaches us to be fair to our parents, respect our teacher, be fair and respectful to elders, and be respectful and loving to our peers. Being raised in a happy family in which the young respect the old is truly a blessing. This is very true. Buddhism emphasizes the virtue of filial piety. Buddhist practitioners must understand the karmic law of cause and effect. We were born into this world as children of our parents because we had formed affinity with them in the past or previous life. Therefore, it is our duty to be obedient and fair to our parents. So here, there is one aspect that I might need to share with you in a slightly different manner of understanding. When, according to the author, he said we were born into this world as children of our parents because we have formed affinity with them in previous life. So this affinity may not be with that same being. No, it need not be. Karma is different. Karma is, although generally you reap what you sow, but karma is about condition. When there is condition for things to arise, then it arises. So let's take for example. In the past, you have been good parents, kind parents. Then you take care of certain children, yeah, and really bring them out wonderfully, beautifully. But in future, when you take birth, you become children. You're supposed to have good parents who take care of you, understand? But these parents may not have anything to do with you in your past. They may not be your previous children's future birth that makes them parents and they come and care for you. No, it may not be. Yeah? It may happen, but it may not be. And most of the time, it's not the case. Because beings are countless, numerous. But whichever that have the condition to actually play that role, you will be born into their family. Yeah. Then sometimes it's very strange. Within the same family, there may be a number of siblings. But the way they treat the sibling are all different. It's because of karma. So many of these things, when you start to understand, you will understand the nature's law of karma in a very much deeper manner. Take for example of a situation where the child is being born into a family that has a lot of problems. And sometimes it's because the mother that gave birth to the child, she also don't know who the father is. So it's born of wedlock. And sometimes under such circumstances, you will have thought this child would meet with terrible karmic conditioning, and he or she will have problem. But I have seen a number of cases where it turned out to be different because karma is such. Yeah? They can have condition that is so amazing. Yeah. Somehow because of the mother's circumstances, she has no choice but to give up the child for adoption. Then the family that adopted this child happened to be successful people who don't have child. Then just by a stroke of fortune, actually nothing to do with fortune, is still coming, this child ended up with a very good family, wealthy family, who can provide for them or for him and care for him and love him so much. And he will grow up with good family and good parents and good support. So these are the possibility. That's why the law of karma, if you understand, you will be amazed at how it functions and how it works. Sometimes apparently a situation may not look good, but condition will arise for it to change. And we have seen this in many circumstances. Then even Master Xuanhua, I remember, he used to give a Dhamma talk with very good advice. One of them was, he said, you can perceive whatever that arise, yeah, with wholesomeness. It will always turn out to be a blessing in disguise. Whatever that happened, initially it may look very unfavorable, very negative. But if you do not perceive it with negativity, project your thought and develop the fear, worry, anxiety, it will turn out to be a blessing in disguise. Yeah, you must know how to perceive it with wholesomeness. Without this condition, I will not be forced into understanding this aspect of life. But because of such condition, I have no choice but to understand it. And when I do not perceive it with negativity, I accord, I flow, then I develop the understanding, then condition can turn around. And through that, you develop wholesomeness, beauty. Take for example, the First Noble Truth reality, that most living beings have to confront, suffer. Can be any other, old age, sickness or death. Pending death, separation, divorce, and relationship failure. And also, when you are people whom you don't like, or you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, when you are being afflicted, miserable. Especially disease, relationship failure, and all those things. So they will have to confront this First Noble Truth reality, and without the Dhamma, without the wisdom, they will suffer. But because of this condition, if they have good karmic condition from the past, they will meet up with someone who can help them understand, and maybe bring them to somebody who has the Dhamma to talk to them and let them understand. Then when they understand, they follow the advice of the Dhamma, then they turn around and develop true understanding, then their life become different. Then on hindsight, they look at it, they say, luckily this thing happened. Otherwise, they will not come to know the Dhamma. That's why it's a blessing in disguise. Then after they know the Dhamma, they know how to do the thing that they're supposed to do, like ask for forgiveness. Repent, repentant, vow not to repeat all this. and starts to follow the advice of the Buddha to cultivate, to avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind, and develop wholesomeness. Their evil power merits are turned around. They cultivate the Dhamma way to develop wisdom to awaken. So that with that understanding, they take care of karma, they take care of their life, and they gain the good life. So all these are possible. So when it arises, they become different. So in this way, it becomes a blessing in disguise. So always remember, whatever happened to you, like the Buddha said, there are causes and conditions behind. This is the reality. You have to accept it. Then you have to perceive it with wholesomeness. Do not panic. Do not project your thought. Do not perceive it with negativity or pessimism. That's how suffering comes to be. It can only turn towards suffering when you attach, cling, and grasp and give meaning. Then project your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation. But you can accept the reality of the moment, then with a clear mind, reflect, contemplate, then act and move. Then it will turn around. It will become beautiful. So all this understanding is very important as a cultivator. So when we do not perceive a situation, a life situation with negativity of mind state, then we are at peace. We will not blame people. We will not project our thought to develop the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the sorrow, and the lamentation. And everything will be different. Then suffering may not arise. Like the Buddha said, suffering may not be where we can accept. Chances are, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions due to past karma. So I do what I have to do. If I need to ask for forgiveness, repentance, I do. And I sincerely repent by confessing. Then after that, you vow not to repeat all this. Then you, from that moment onward, vow to follow the advice of the Buddha. When you follow the advice of the Buddha, you start your cultivation to avoid all evil, you keep the precept. Then you cultivate wholesomeness, goodness, following Noble Eightfold Path practice. Then after that, you purify your mind, meditate to develop wisdom, then cultivate following Abhijja Sutta. Then your life will turn around. Then you can evoke power of merits for condition to avoid the foolish, meet out with the wise, so that enlightenment can be realized in the here and the now as soon as possible. Or you can even evoke power of merits for causes and condition to turn around, to help you in whatever way that can make your life better, or even your loved ones. So these are the Dhamma way, where you will not suffer, where you will know how to resolve all life situation or problem through Dhamma understanding, following the Dhamma way. So this topic not only cover filial piety, it covers all aspects of Dhamma. And with this understanding, it can help us in many ways. As cultivator of the way, as Dhamma practitioner, we can develop great wisdom out of it. So there are many ways to look at life. If you have the patience, the understanding, the mindfulness, the heedfulness, you can see them. You can understand them. Then all these are within our what they call capability as a cultivator or practitioner of Dhamma. And we call ourselves Dhamma friends because Vyakayanamitas walk the path of Dhamma. And we develop understanding of the Dhamma, we cultivate. And we motivate, we counsel, we actually help each other to walk the path. So through this synergy, we create karma or karmic affinity and Dhamma affinity. That's how we grow in our cultivation. Then we will have more and more good friends or karmic Dhamma friends. Okay, go back to the sharing. Huh? Okay. Where are we? Oh, okay. Okay. So we have finished this sentence. Huh? Therefore, it is our duty to be obedient and faithful to our parents. Huh? Parents are like living Buddhas in the family. As Buddhist practitioners or cultivators, we must show reverence with respect to all Buddhas as well as our parents. This does not mean just providing them with daily necessity. It is more important that we be accommodating and stay by their side to care for them to the best of our ability. Not only should we respect and take care of the living Buddhas in our family, we should also regard all people who are older than us as elders in our families, those close in age as our siblings, and those younger as our own children. In other words, we should treat everyone in this world as our own family members. People often ask me why Tsuchi does not build nursing home. I always have mixed feelings after visiting a nursing home. It is unbearable to see that the children of those senior residents are not able to be with their parents to experience the joy of family togetherness. In light of this, Tsuchi Hospital has set up adult daycare centers. In the morning, adult children take their senior parents to the center before going to work. The center is very comfortable, and these are healthcare professionals and Tsuchi volunteers on duty to aid those with mobility problems, rehabilitate and assist them and bathe them. And bathe those who cannot take care of themselves. In the evening, their children come to take them home afterwards so they can enjoy family time together. So this one is a good way to help the elderly because the children need to place their parents somewhere when they go to work, especially those having problems to be independent or to be mobile. So instead of sending them to the home, you can send them before you go to office to the Tsuchi daycare. And on the way back after office, you bring them back. Then you take over the role and duty. So this part is very useful. Huh? Otherwise, they have to think of placing them in maybe permanent daycare homes, where they have to pay maybe a monthly amount for all these centers or homes to actually take care of the parents. Of course, nowadays people are very sensitive. They don't call them old folks home anymore. Old folks home is an old name where all the old people, they don't want to take care, they discard them and let them live there. But nowadays it's different. They have very different names, which are very much more noble and pleasant to hear of. They call it the there are many words for it. It's equipped with a lot of community activity, nursing and even doctors and health facilities. But these are centers where people set up. They call it, I forgot the name already, overseas advanced country now they have. You can actually buy yourself a place to stay. I was told, I think Chi Wei managed to buy into one of these homes, I think, where he get to live and stay in a very good environment with all the facilities and needs that the old people need. So there are more and more of this, and it has become more and more popular. And most of these are catering for retired people who maybe only have their own house or home, which is worth a lot. But if they sell them off, they got no place to stay unless they downgrade. But there is a program where they exchange understanding. They say, okay, you assign this home to us, we will give you a value. Then after they have value, they will tell you, okay, they can immediately give you a sum of money, then the balance you buy into this home. Then you can stay there until maybe you pass away. Then the money that you have, you can use for whatever you want during your old age and all those things. The only difference is you get to live, you get to have a sum of money to do whatever you want. Then the home, anyway, when you pass away, you will lose it too. So these people who set up this program, they are investors. They actually want your property. Well, your property may be worth a lot of money by then. As you age further, the property will appreciate further. Then in the meantime, they may do something to your property, rent it out or whatever. Then later on, maybe they will sell it off to realize their investment and all those things. So these are the modern way of business entity that can actually provide alternative solution to not only traditional choices of old folks home or sending them somewhere, then pay for whatever cost. So society has this technology called understanding and sophistication of investor idea. They can actually bring about great transformation. That's why there's always this saying that in future there will be more and more of this program or schemes or even investment companies who may come up with beautiful ideas to cater for the retired, for the elderly. Even in China, you have seen all this evolving. There are certain villages that are built for elderly people. But most of these elderly people, they have the wealth, the means, and they can afford them. And sometimes they come together just because they like that community living and all those things. So these are the various possibility of evolution of society. Yeah. Then the Dhamma can actually fit into all this. It's not a problem. As long as you have the Dhamma, you will know what to do. Then it's not like in the past, you send your parents to this type of home, they say, "Ayo, you don't really have filial piety, you don't love your parents, you send them to old folks' home." No, sometimes it depends on how you visualize all this or understand all these things. Sometimes this type of home, they provide very good medical care and support. Then there is value in all these things. So as society evolves, we will have more and more of this possibility, which can be very meaningful, very beautiful. Then it can actually help us to have more choice, to have more opportunity. Then maybe the life of elderly people can have better quality. They call it quality life during old age. In the past, I realized most of the elderly people, they don't have the means. Most of them are of the old generation, where they give birth to a lot of children. But all these children, most of them, not all, somehow they can't even support two parents. So they are left on their own, to fend themselves on their own and all those things. And sometimes you hear of miserable story. But all of this has its coming behind. So when you have the understanding, you look at it from the point of Dhamma, means coming, you will start to develop understanding. Then you will not be concerned about it because you understand. Then you can accept the reality, you can be at peace. Then you can actually do the needy or necessary, then you can move on. Okay, I will continue. Many of these seniors have lived through tough time contributing to their family and societies. When they are old, they deserve to be cared for. They especially need their parents, or sorry, their families to keep them company. This is Shiji's principle and way to deal with this contemporary need. Being failure means not only taking care of elders, but also our own body and mind. In the Analects, Ming Wu Po asked Confucius about filial piety. Confucius answered, "Parents worry about their children before you. Parents worry the most about their children becoming sick, either physically or mentally. Therefore, whether we are at home or traveling on the road, we must take good care of our body and mind, not causing our parents to worry about us." It's been filial. So this is also another aspect of filial piety. But most of the case is the opposite. Their children, as they grow older, they have this sense of filial piety. They think of their parents. Then when they meet their parents, they really want to repay them in whatever way. Then most of the time I realize they will advise the parent to be careful, to take care as you age. Especially my children, they always advise us, me and my wife. Nowadays, you walk across drain, don't try to be a hero. Don't just jump. Go and look for a safe passage to pass or to walk through. Then when going up staircase or coming down staircase, hold on to the railing. Because when you age, you really cannot afford to have a fall. The moment you fall, a lot of things can really happen. Because the bodily structure as we age. It loses its mobility. It loses its ability to be like a youth when you are young, where you can jump around, maybe be adventurous and all that thing. But as you age, there are a lot of things that your body cannot do. It's so different from when you are young. So you assume you are still young, then you try to do that, you will get into a lot of trouble. Then I have seen many people actually very slight fall or injury. There was a friend, we were together, where they are much older than us. I think they are already in their 80s. When it happened was 78, 79, when they are at their age. Now they are 80 plus. One of them came down from their office, missed a step, fell on the train, and broke a number of bones. So quite bad. Then went for operation, hospitalized, and it seems they have to do a lot of things to the fracture. They have to put in the bolts and the nuts and all those things. So it developed what they call a sickness or side effect even after the operation. Sometimes they say during cold weather, they feel the effect. Then it would not be like normal again. And one of them, I think, was traveling to somewhere, one of the I forgot. Then also misstep, fell, broke the leg. Many months on plaster and all those things. But these are elderly people. That's why we have to be careful as we age. Do not take things for granted. Be extra careful. Our balance are not so stable anymore as we age. Especially when you walk around. And sometimes your leg, they are weak. My father used to tell me when he was around the age of 70 something. He said, as we age, the leg is very weak, is it? Yeah, later on, he need to sit on a wheelchair. My mother was not so bad. My mother, when she was 87, only she need a wheelchair. But she's still mobile, but for short distance. You take her to a mall, she may need a wheelchair to move around. Otherwise, she walk very slow and not for long. She need rest. So these are the experiences that we came across when we observe our parent age. And nowadays, through having more contact, more circle of friends, we get to share our experiences. Then also from the media, from the internet, from video, we also get to share all this. And yesterday I sent out a video of a car. The lady was very lucky, I think. In fact, that was the Middle Ring Road. One of the parapet wall, the small piece of concrete, we call it a parapet wall, here is at the end. I think it fell off. They hit the car, smashed the top part of the vehicle. The whole thing was smashed. But luckily, the lady inside there, the driver, only, I think, injured the hand a bit. So she was out of danger. Then the video, somehow there was a video that caught the thing. So when you drive along this highway thing, I in the early days, I remember I always told my wife, I say, when you drive, don't go near the first lane, because whatever that fall off, it's always the first lane full of kidnappers. So you can avoid, you move over here from the first lane. The other thing that can give problem is the retaining wall. Yeah, these are called RE wall or reinforced earth wall. Yeah. You see the panel, the vertical panel, one piece like that stack up, and that are called RE wall. It's supposed to have proper design and all these things. It's supposed to last quite long, sound for life. But overseas, there have been some experiences where the cable that joined the piece to the wall and the connecting part, there's a weak spot that can fail over time, maybe due to wear and tear or rust or improper quality control when they were built into. Then when one of these starts to give way, it will stress the rest and the whole wall can just collapse. But it may not be so fast, don't worry, don't panic, because most of this design, they are very safe. But just in case, if that retaining wall or the bridge is very old already, when you pass by, be careful. Try to avoid the first lane. So this is one of the advice. But it's actually very rare for this thing to happen. Over the many years, I think this was the first incident where the whole concrete block, we call it a parapet, near to the edge there. You see all the parapet wall continuity, then there was one piece with a gap U-shape like that missing. Means that piece has fallen off. It's exactly above that car. So these are possibilities. Sometimes coming is such a, they say to buy lottery, the probability is less than being hit by one of these. And yet, you may be the victim, or like just like that lady. The odd is so like very rare, and yet it strike. It's more difficult than striking a social welfare, do you know that? Over so many years, I think it's 20, 30 years, then only one incident. And you have to be there at that moment, at that time, when that piece come down. So not easy. But coming is like that. Condition is like that. So all these are understanding. When we try our best to reduce the risk or subject ourselves to such risk. So you can avoid, you try to avoid. Then when you do that, it actually reduces the possibility of it happening. So tactfulness, wisdom, understanding can actually help protect you. Okay, we go back to the sharing, the teaching part. The Buddha said, the body is a vehicle for spiritual practice. See, they also know. Not only for spiritual practice, it's a vehicle to take us around. Then it also has the senses that can help us trigger off the respective consciousness to allow us to be conscious of things, conscious of what we see, what we smell, what we taste, what we take, what we feel and think. We should make good use of this physical body to save people, to benefit others and ourselves. This one is true. In other words, we should do good deeds and be fair upon. And be failure or have failability. This cannot be delayed. Doing good deeds and betrayal are actually two sides of the same coin. Doing good deeds is being failure or having failure piety. To be failure, we must endeavor to do good deeds and dedicate the merits and virtues to our parents. This one is very true. For this reason, we must uphold ethics or etiquette. Nurture our virtue and set an example for our actions. For instance, if a man is failure to his parent, then his son will also be failure to him. And the virtue of filial piety will pass on. When we practice spiritual cultivation, we should do good deeds and tread the bodhisattva way or path to honor our ancestor, to show that we have been raised properly by our parents and ancestors, and to make our parents proud. If we misbehave and hurt ourselves or others because our parents much worry, in doing so, we not only damage family ethics, we also sabotage our social order. So this is all, I think, very straightforward. Yeah? The best way to be filial piety is to cherish and respect ourselves. Yeah, this is very true. When you cherish your life and you can respect yourself, you actually have filial piety. Because when you are successful, when you are doing well, healthy, your parents will be happy for you and they will not worry for you. But if you don't respect yourself and don't cherish yourself, don't take care of your life, then it can trigger a condition for your parents to worry about you. That's why filial piety can be viewed in that particular way. So when you are successful, when you cherish your life, you respect yourself, you actually go a long way and your parents will be proud of you. They will not have to worry about you. They have a lot of joy seeing you successful, doing well, healthy. Those who cherish and respect themselves knows to abide by morals and ethics and to show filial piety and reverence to their parents and elders without delay. Those who know the correct path in life will be able to make good use of their bodies. This is very true. Huh? They can even continue to contribute with their bodies after they pass away by agreeing to donate their organs to save life, or to donate their body for medical students to do studies. Especially the medical students, for them to practice their operation. It seems I was told by some of my classmates who went to India to study. They say you do medicine in India, you can get very good experience.
Yes.
Because there are a lot of dead bodies available. People just donate. And there are plenty for you to cut and try and error and do your whatever experiment on them. They can even continue to... Oh, this one we have gone through. Donate organ and all those things. Or medical student to study. People who do so have
the great
compassion of bodhisattvas because they have, per the Sutta of Infinite Meaning, donated head, eyes, marrow, and brain to others. They have truly contributed to society and left good examples. So this is from the author who quote the Wu Liang Yi Jing, the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. Therefore, to fulfill the vow of treading the Bodhisattva path is to repay our parents' grace in our past, present and future life. It's also the best way to express filial piety in Buddhist practice. So this part is very good. The author has added the point about walking the Bodhisattva path is to fulfill our parents' grace in the past, present and future life. This is very good. Okay? We can have our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. So we are off the light, then you can relax, maintain awareness and do your meditation. Be patient. Silence everything to realize your true mind, the awareness within. Brother Song. Yeah, Song.
Dharma in daily. I mean, recently, 可以一直讲。
Yeah.
可以一直看到自己的那个的 mind stage， 然后一直去 rectify 哦，然后有很多的时候可以看到那个 habitual 还是有在那一边 ，but 也一直在用那个 八正道的那个cultivation 去修改它，还是会有那个habitual， but 你也知道 ，but 也同时就一直。一直在 remind 自己
，and then
一直在就 more aware， and then 这样子咯。对，no
problem，because 那个 habitual tendency 啊，慢慢 as your understanding develop deeper， more stable， as you reflect and contemplate deeper， then 啊，过了一阵子，你自己知道的，哎，不摇动了的，出来，哦。 Then 那个东西不能够影响到你了。 means that time the understanding stabilized already. Means 你已经 rooted out 了。 initially before it happened, 它还会现出来， but 一阵子不了。 一阵子，Yoniso Manasikara 就起来了。 Then straight away 你就了解了， 你就会 move 了的。 Then like NB went through also same. NB also based on Tata discussion with 那个 chanting friend, you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 因为他有一点不一样的意见。 So because of that, maybe you can feel that inside, there is this slight movement. Means like, Yao try to like, react to it or wants to explain to him or what. Then later on, she starts to immediately understand that she didn't do anything. She accepts him for what he is. Then he continued to listen. Then he realized after a while, 他就灭掉了，平静下来了。 So initially, 就是要有那个 understandings and understanding 了，你就 patiently apply the Dhamma. He is the way he is. Then 你就看咯，看你的 nature 怎样咯。但有时候你 apply 出来了是吗？他的那个 wisdom 有时候是还是没有 very stable 的。It's still at some form of initial understanding, but not stable. 因为你还没有 really develop the clear stable understanding 嘛。Then after a while 啊，the same reaction will come or not? 因为 after a while 你还会给他 draw 进去的，因为 as he try to explain or sometimes he reach a point where he try to like emphasize it more strong， 那你还是有那个 condition 给他的 words 影响到。 So whatever it is， after you have reflected, contemplated, deep and now under stabilized， you will reach a point where whatever he say not important already. 你还会听，听了 你就懂了啊，那你就会 based on your understanding 啊，看那个 condition behind， whether got condition to help or not， whether got condition to explain or not， otherwise accept him for what he is， 啊，then 就跟他讲啊 ，OK， I think I understand what you're trying to say， it's okay， well you can disagree， no problem， 啊，不要。个人个人不一样嘛，你可以接受他，接受他了，你也可以给他来 continue to explain， 那你可以问他 is there anything else， if there is nothing else then maybe close the conversation 咯，因为他没有 condition to listen 嘛，如果有 condition to listen， 那 you can explain， 那你 can like later on you will understand 啦，You can explain in the way you understand, which he cannot see. Then you wait for him to respond. If he still don't have that thing, he will still continue to argue with you. Then 你知道没有 condition 的，所以你就 let it be 了 ，let things be 了。Then just so whatever that happened, then just resolve it amicably 了，就没事了喽。Then the cultivation.Of particular aspect of the Ba Zheng Dao, there are many areas to go into one. So, you can reflect right view. Right view is very deep one. That 三个 right view is 很深的. A lot of things to reflect and contemplate on. Even the law of karma itself is a very, very wide topic. Very wide topic. Then, the law of mind also same. Citta Niyama 也是一样。Then Dhamma Niyama is the essential Dhamma. So the essential Dhamma is a lot of aspects can cultivate, especially the four right effort. Actually, 很久的时间来去 perfect 它的，去 refine 它的。Of course, the first two right effort 就 more easy because it's concerning the abandoning the five ways.那个如果你是 meditator cultivator 你可以 clear especially using the third and the fourth way and after that you develop the understanding the wisdom then the second right effort to prevent the arising 就很容易了啦 because the wisdom 在那边的嘛就好像 Alicia 也可以做到了嘛他一看到那个地方嘛啊又来了 enough I have seen you enough you have tormented me deceived me for enough long enough我的爸这么多年他你一看到你就懂了你就笑他就灭掉了 So that stage most cultivator can clear But the third and fourth not easy The third and fourth to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action and all the virtue that are still not in you 啊，那个 is a very big field 还有很多area of cultivation where you can really develop the understanding of that. Then they try to apply in daily life. Take for example, right view. 你的看法很重要。你的 view about things 很重要。How do you perceive things when they arise? Life situation when they arise?Condition when they arise. All these are based on right view. So that one 你要 contemplate. Then 很多我已经进过了的我 share with all direct. Means 你们不用去自己去做 R&D research, find out, 然后 try to apply, then see whether it's work or not. 那些我已经进过了的 from my past cultivation, the straight way I apply is very effective. It's just like the world is the world, people are just the way they are. Then 有时候好像我的 teacher Ajayantra taught me, only mighty nature rolling by, no reality. Everything arises and passes away, condition arising, dependent originating.Also phenomena. Then, 看好好来 clearly until the insight really arise, until you awaken to it. 哎，还有就是，during the cultivation, the very powerful, essential dhamma that the Buddha has taught, Sankara Anicang, Sankara Dukkang, 那个你要 contemplate until, all the five aggregate you can understand, Rupang Anicang, Rupang Anatta.The moment you say it, the understanding is there. Why is it impermanent? Why is it non-self empty? Of course, suffering is very easy. The moment you cannot accept that reality, you want things your way, which is not nature's way, suffering, but that one is easier. But that one you also can contemplate initially. That's why the Buddha, under the teaching, when he advised the monk in the morning chanting,He always say this two only, Rupang Anicang, Rupang Anatta. 他没有讲Rupang Dukkang, 没有了。Anicang Anatta, then Vedana Anicang, Vedana Anatta. So under the yellow card, the Bodhisattva vow, I also put the same. Anicang Anatta, Anicang Anatta. So 你一 contemplate 下去啊，它 very clear 了。I remember in the early days, when I look at nature, Rupang, everything I see, I understand why it's Anicang, the tree, the building, yes, the engineer, I know how it come about, and the physical body, and the plant, and everything that arises, every phenomenon, these are all mental form. They are conditioned arising cause of phenomena. So, 你看得到的因为他们是因缘法嘛 ，dependent on condition it arise 嘛 ，when condition cease to be, they cease 嘛。但是你一定要看到 at the moment of its arising, sustaining and passing away. When the condition arise at time, how it arise at the moment of arising of the normal, then 你的 mindful continue 哦 ，the sustaining 的时候一起哦 ，then after that 它就灭了 ，then keep on seeing on, yes.Truth is everywhere in the midst of life and existence. Every moment of hearing is like that. The characteristics are there. Every moment of seeing also the characteristics. You know, all phenomena are like that. Some move very fast, some take longer time. But the one that move very fast, on, you calm down when quiet. Then after that, you move on to the right thought.Right speech, right action. Even right thought, right speech, right action 也是很多部分来 contemplate, reflect and cultivate on. Especially right speech and right action. What constitutes right speech? Then 你要 put into practice Dhamma in daily life. How to really develop the pleasant and nice speeches that can lead to understanding.That can lead to harmony. So all of those right speech which are very conducive of communication means the speech must be gentle, pleasant, and maybe tactful. So gentle and pleasant speeches 不容易要去学 Then have to think of phrases that really canMake people feel that you really care, you are really kind, you are a very cultured person with the Dhamma, with the understanding within. That's why when you approach somebody through the way you communicate, they feel confident in you and then they like to listen to you and they have faith in you, they will trust you.So noble eightfold path factor will make you very noble in every aspect of life. So 要去慢慢学，慢慢去 apply. Even answer phone call 也可以 reply to somebody who talk to you 也是一样。Then right action 也是一样。A lot of the action we do in life is based on selfishness initially. 你看得到的时候，有 evil will.你不是 based on condition arising 吗？ Then the thought, which is ego, is a very cunning one. Every time behind, there is this like calculative mind. For me or not for me, beneficial or not beneficial. Then non-beneficial, 他不要做了. So those type of action are all based on selfishness, delusion, sometimes emotion, sometimes how you react to sense experience. Then the way you act out of it is from that emotion that condition you to act. That's why it's habitual tendency, everything must say yes, so fall into this. So right action, right speech, and right thought, they have a lot of things to do with your daily life. Huh? So to cultivate that, 不容易. Then of course, the way you live your life is right living. Huh? So that way you will start to develop more and more understanding. You will start to understand what is life, the meaning of life, the purpose of life. Then how can you really live life with the Dhamma understanding? So right living is like living your life in the righteous way, following the Dhamma way. It means you must have noble eightfold path to guide you. When you have noble eightfold path, there will be right living. So everything that happened before you act, you must have right view. So acting according to wisdom, following right view. So all this refinement, you start to develop. Then right mindfulness, of course, 你整天在 cultivate 嘛. So 那个会越来越 stable, 越来越强, 越来越强. Then when it become very stable, until that nature, very, very clear, very stable, then this mindfulness stabilizes into samadhi, mind enters sati. 那个很重要的 mind enters sati means throughout the day you are aware, you are mindful, your stability of daily mindfulness is there. Then only you can really develop the understanding to apply Dhamma in daily life. Then everything you do is based on Dhamma understanding. Then you can relate life itself to the teaching, to the Dhamma. Then you will understand truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. So Dhamma is life itself. Life itself is the Dhamma. That's why nature is our greatest teacher. From nature, we learn. From relationship, we learn. From the arising of mind, we learn. So all this, they will slowly, slowly stabilize. Then later on, when all this stabilize, 你自己看得到的, 你 transform 了, 不一样的。 那个 habitual tendency 全部也慢慢慢慢 好像灭掉了 then 你原来 诶, 现在你不会 react 了 你不会好像以前那样 but you are still a normal person 你了解吗 you are still a normal person in the sense that you don't have to act out of it on. It's like naturally you are like that 而已 你也不会 deceive people take advantage of 不会了的 有时候很奇怪，你看到钱在地上，你都不要去捡了，啊。 Unless you have another understanding that maybe it belongs to somebody, then you can get them to trace the owner. You will pass to somebody who were able to trace the owner, then return to them, or you report to the counter. Or sometimes, 有时候你如果 发现没有那个 condition to know who, you just let it be. Or you tell somebody else, hey, there's some money down there. 那他们觉得很奇怪，这个人，一切不是小数目，以为是我看到几十块人在地上。 然后来我看到一个马来人, office colleague 来的，我说, hey, I don't do it, 那个人带。 他看到, hey, 这天我不看右边啊。 I said, bukan lah. Kalau I ni, I tak bagi tahu you lah. I sendiri yang angkat lah. Oh, then he said, siapa ni lah? I said, I pun tak tahu. You angkat lah. Then you tanya siapa ni lah. Ada siapa hilang, you tanya dia berapa. Kalau dia boleh sebut dia punya amount, you return to dia lah. Kalau tak, you sendiri decide what you want to do with the money. So sometimes 很奇怪的, 你不会有那个好像贪的念头了。 有时候你也会说, oh, since 没有人的, but 有那个 condition, 你会代替那个人不见的啊, 去做 donation 的, you donate on their behalf. And may this wholesomeness be accrued to them. 你也会这样做。 And a lot of other things, 你的 behavior 不一样的, 好像以前我跟你讲啊, 你有时候喝到 certain thing 啊, 没有放糖, 你也不会 react, 你会笑, then 你 accidentally knock against something 啊, 你也不会发脾气, 你 realize 啊, 这个很痛的, for normal people, they cannot endure 啊, but 你能够接受, 啊, then 你能够, 哇, 在那边 with joy inside there, 你知道很痛, but that tactile 啊, 对你没有影响的, 你是能够接受, be with it. Then a lot of things will start to become different. Then there is the beginning of understanding, transformation. Then 你就能够 share all this with cultivator who have not gone through. Then 慢慢慢慢 他们也会了解, 他们也会遇到. So I used to tell my wife and my daughter, you know, I say, the funny thing about this cultivation is, no matter from which direction you come and approach from, if you have done it correctly, the thing that you experience and come to understand, they unfold in a similar way, a similar pattern. 就好像 Amy, they all, Alicia, 你们会去看到这些 mind state, then 那个 habitual tendency, 你 start to understand, because 这是 part and parcel of life. So, a cultivator, as they go through with mindfulness, they will develop all this understanding. They say Dhamma in daily life is a very, very wide topic, and it needs to be developed because Noble Eightfold Path is a complete cultivation and a very wide topic to cover. So that part, I think 你会慢慢了解 咯。
我是突然间一个 new student 在 learning how to, you know, 在 daily 里面怎样的去 observe 这个 mind 了, 然后怎样去 apply effort noble path, like suddenly 很像一个 kindergarten 在 learning 这样子一直在 you know, that's why involve a lot of the, that's why I will agree, like just now 你讲很, it involve a lot of the contemplation, 很多的那个 understanding of applying teaching. Yeah.
And this is the phase, ordinary cultivator cannot understand. They haven't reached that stage. To reach that stage means you must have the mindfulness and a certain amount of initial wisdom and insight. You must have realized that nature to a certain extent, then understood the Dhamma, then only 你可以慢慢 move into that cultivation aspect to see all this. Well, these are the higher cultivation that real cultivator do. The rest, 他们是有一个 idea or knowledge about what meditation is, what the Dhamma is. 他们以为, 你静坐了, suddenly, 你就 enlightened 了, after that 什么都不用做了, 就成功了, 不是这样的, 它有很多 stage 的, 那个一段一段的, but the initial wisdom or awakening that come through the insight, yes, very powerful. It can give rise to a lot of understanding and wisdom, depending on the path, the individual's path. 如果他们前世做过的, 他们上手很快一下子就了解了 but not everybody is like that. And even after 上手了, their mistake is 就好像你 earlier on went through, you go back to the thought process, 整天你要去 understand 吗, 以为要去 remember 才真正的有那个佛法吗, then you try to remember 不用的. That's why when I advise you, I say, don't try to remember. 它有就是有。Then at that moment 它会现出来的，没有就是没有， not stable means not stable， 它的 movement all and then you understand the real cultivation is like that one, not what people think of. So 它的那个 stage by stage 的like transformation or awakening depend on the cultivator one. Then if they don't have the daily mindfulness 啊，他看不到这些东西的，他不能够了解我们在谈什么的。Then our discussion all to them is like don't know what these people are talking about. Because to them is sick, vipassana, jhana, I don't know, they want to insight, they want to this and that. But 他们不知道的真正的 cultivation is daily mindfulness leading to Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. And that field is very wide. But not taught because not in the book. And very few cultivators can even reach that stage to cultivate. That's why 你们 singing, 你们能够慢慢慢慢进入这条大道，佛陀的大道，to develop that type of cultivation. And this one will become more and more amazing and more beautiful as more kayanita goes into it. Then our discussion will become very different. The sharing will become very different. 就好像最近我们 slowly evolve 的那个 sharing 啊不一样了。Even 那个心情The way we share during the MCO 跟 retreat 不一样了， very very thorough, very detailed. Because more and more kayamita 有了那个 affinity and ability to 了解 deeper 了， then 他们的 cultivation 也 progress 了， then 他们也能够理解 or understand all this higher teaching and higher. That's why now we start to share all this.Then Dhamma in daily life, we were introduced. Then the short video, everything is to focus on the important message of 那个 Dhamma talk. Well, within the whole series of Dhamma talk, every 2 hours or 2 hours, there are a lot of Dhamma inside there. Then 你会听啊，很多 very useful 的 pointer is inside there. So this is how the...stages of evolution of sharing, teaching, and also cultivation, they will evolve, and 你们会经过。And 从现在起 I think more and more people will develop the progress and the understanding. That's why 我 predict earlier on, 2-3 years ago, that the Kayamita force of the nature will continue to move and evolve and transform.以前是 slow, but 它越来越快越来越快 like now it's accelerating. Every moment, every instant. Then 很多那些 kayamita, they start to move. The best is recently, 你看到很多 especially after 你 then a few, then poaching, then even Goklun also starts to benefit.And Alicia, Amy, then many others lah. Then you see very quiet one, 不讲多 but 自己在修了。Then like the early days, the first match, 有几个也是蛮厉害的 ，Monica 他们不错的。So all this they can actually develop until very strong. Then now I think the younger generation, they also get involved, like my daughter, 他们的。Then 很多的 new people, I realize the new people, they can learn very fast. Even you look at David, so new, 也是蛮快。Then the older people also now becoming more serious. Then they are trying to,develop understanding, straighten their views and honesty. Okay, so.
Yeah, sadhu, Bradil.
还有
But, Bradil 现在就是在 daily 里面可以一直很 aware, 就是那个 Sankara, 那个 Jackling Mind 还是很它是很 很沉的在上面。
你不用 worry about that one.
Yeah.
EB, 你明白吗 ？Let EB.、
Yeah.
你越 concern 啊，越担心啊，它就越 strong 啊。你这个 EB, 有时候 is a test, 有时候它是 purpose 给你看的、啊。But、你一给他 meaning 啊，哎呦 ，why I still have this 啊 ？That one come from the thought. That one、come from the mundane mind that analyze.一定有它的原因的嘛。One can only see is、after your Monday mind collapse， 我都跟你讲了 ，Monday mind collapse 不容易的。
经
过一阵子啊，因为你要进入那个 gateway 啊，又 very stable 了啊，里面 transform 了啊 ，then something will happen on your brain there。And that one I remember take me about 9 months、for the thing to completely drop off， 那个 layer of Monday mind to drop off， 9个月，So just let it be， 你 just go about doing your cultivation， then when the understanding come what you need to do is stabilize that nature， stabilize that daily mindfulness， 因为还是很多东西要去修的，Then when that nature stabilize 你的那个 daily mindfulness 就会越来越 stable， 越来越 stable， until throughout the day you are just peaceful away， and 很奇怪，那个时候 is like you enlightened already， you know? like everything so simple， the mundane mind 很容易控制， the mundane mind 很容易修的。But later on, when the mundane mind collapse, the supra mundane mind 起来的时候，那个 mind 很难 develop the daily mindfulness like last time. 你好像做不到，因为 actually 是 no mind 了， nothing for you to do 了的。But initially, 你会有那个思想啊，诶 ，why now I not like last time, right?But actually, 你的 nature shine forth 了，你的 understanding and movement are all different 了。Because that time is to go back to the third stage of seeing 了，看山又是山 ，go back to normality 了。But without mundane mind 了呢 ，then 你看 everything very clear 嘛。So all these stages are all very different. So sankhara is just sankhara.Because Sankara is the mundane mind, Sankara anicang, Sankara tukang. Without wisdom, it will arise. Then even as an Araham, with wisdom, they can deal with it, finish. But outflow, Sankara 还有的，不停的。So at Araham level 都有 outflow 啊 ，unless 你是菩萨，你修到那个 nature very stable 了 ，mundane mind collapse 了 ，then only.Really transform then without outflow without outflow means no more outflow of thought means that mundane mind 灭掉了嘛它 non-grasping 的不能够再去乱做东西了嘛、but at Arahant level they have the wisdom they got no more ignorance so when the Sankara arise they have the wisdom they cannotbe conditioned into negativity. 但是他什么时候都不能犯错了的阿拉罕。So, 死的时候or 往生的时候the last thought will not condition ignorant. That's why no more birth. All this become very natural and very easy to understand. So, 修的时候就修。Develop the faith, the vow, and all those things. Then develop the understanding to be a blessing to all. Then just sincere, develop the faith, then persevere, then fulfill the vow. Then the transformation will come on. Then you will go through all the stages. Then don't be too eager to know or to understand or to transform because.The individual are all different. Other condition behind, other time to transform and evolve, everyone is different. So 你要有那个 faith, sincerity and perseverance to just develop the cultivation, then fulfill 你的 vow of perfection, then develop the aspiration, the pure wish and everything, then evoke our merits for causes and conditions for things to happen, then go through the bodhisattva vow, so that line after line 你来，这条路还很远，还很多。But can be very beautiful. Yeah, as your nature transform, as your vow become very stable, then life after life you come, eh? You don't need the sasana. All this understanding will follow you, just like my nature. Whether sasana or no sasana, 他一来他就了解这些东西了，很快上手了，一下子一阵子他就自己上手了。That's why I realize everything come with my nature, eh?And technically, I don't have to do anything. I just echo and flow. Then everything just unfold. Then after a while, 他的 nature 自己 connect 了的时候知道啊 all these are possible because 是前世因嘛 Yeah, this is what you inherit. So 前世因是这样你 inherit 了啊它是那么 amazing, 那么奥妙嗯Without the past, all this is not possible. Then how can it just unfold like that? How can your understanding just keep on arising, coming? Like I say, this life, a lot of the things I share and teach you all, I never learned them this life. Then how did my nature understand? Because it inherited. Then as the thing transform, as the nature evolve further and further,Then it will connect back. Then when it connect back, the understanding will just unfold. Then 你自己看得到了。哦，因缘法这么包括 law of karma, the dhamma, the various aspect of right view and all those things. 它全部啊 is a big picture 来的。Then 你看下去的时候，你说哇 ，no wonder, no wonder, 你一出世是这样。我的 parents 是这样，我的 brother 是这样 ，then the people I encounter, then the way I receive Dhamma, then the way I understand it very fast, very different, then the way I share, then the way Kayamita come to me, and the way they learn, then 你看得到了我全部 ，but all this is only possible if you have that nature. That's why everyone is different. So different stages of cultivation, you experience it differently, but这些 sharing is very important, or 提早 share, so that later on, well, the website will be there. Those cultivators who come later, they will understand one. Then some who have the past on, they will know how beautiful this thing is one. Yes, this understanding can guide people up to even very high level of cultivation. So, all this,You will slowly, slowly go through, develop the understanding. Then 还有很多时间，不是 this life alone. This life alone 学不完的，因为 this life is so short. 因为 my nature 已经 cultivate 很久了的，很久很久了的。到目前的 understanding to have that type of nature 不容易，but 做得到，因为现在是 the sasana itself.And you all have all the parami. You only have to have faith, sincerity, and perseverance. Then 很多东西会 unfold. Then what my nature really rejoices in is those who have affinity, 同修 kayamita, they can also move until they develop their nature into something very beautiful. Then, 这个会 very strong. 一个传一个然后那个一个又传一个，然后一个里面呢会传很多个的。Just like this life when my nature come, I don't look for quantity, I look for quality. Those that have the condition that they are, because the moment you all understand with this bodhisattva vow, 你们可以 actually transform and develop very fast. Maybe by the next sasana, a lot of you all become very different. Your nature will be very different.Some of you may even evolve until what my nature is now. Because from now to the next asana, you have this vow, line after line you come, you have this understanding and right view, you will become very different. Okay? Yeah.
Okay, sadhu bharatiyo. Yeah.
So, piyong tansik. Today I had to end early because my daughter got a dinner appointment. She got to leave by 6 o'clock. So, I think we can end. So we let Song have the authority to maybe appoint somebody the next sharing. Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu.
Sadhu.
Sadhu. Then let us share merits. And then I was told by Sui An, I think you all received the message. Lei Hong's brother, I think, Jing Gyal father-in-law. Just pass away. Maybe we shall also share some merits. I saw a lot of Kayamita already express their condolences and honestly. Then I also delivered a simple sharing on the advice of the Buddha when it comes to people passing away. The famous saying, maybe I read out for sharing that people will understand. I say, dear brother Jing Gyal and sister Lei Hong, our deepest condolence to both of you. Then the Buddha's advice is always anicca vata sankara upada vaya damino upajitva nirujanti tesam upasamo sukho. The meaning is impermanent alas are all conditioned dhamma. They are of the nature to arise and pass away. Having been born, they all must cease. The calming of condition via this understanding is true happiness by the Buddha. Then may the blessing of the Triple Gem be with you and your family. Then sabbe satta bhavantu sukhitata. So we wish all beings well and happy. So this is how we contemplate when somebody passes away.